Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's been a big WWE heel turn. It might not have been the most shocking or surprising one because it's been expertly set up by long-term booking in WWE. How often do you hear those two things said together? Long-term booking, WWE, well set up. It was Jey Uso aligning with his tribal chief, Roman Reigns, on last night's episode of SmackDown after they told this brilliant story throughout the night of Jey struggling with that dilemma of now being in servitude to his cousin. And finally, at the end against Daniel Bryan, being a nasty Uso. I am Orange Cassidy, joined by Slender Mandy Datsun. Happy Halloween, folks. This is the SmackDown review.
Happy Halloween, yes. What a heel turn. I mean, I think we all saw it coming, but I think we're all pleased at how it was booked. It wasn't kind of like, well, you're a heel now that you're aligned with me. There was the real sort of, there was a dilemma in his mind. He didn't quite know what he wanted to do, but I really did like, I mean, as you've said in your review earlier, it's a shame that it came at the cost of sort of a Daniel Bryan loss, but I don't think they could have done this much better, which is something I found myself saying a lot during these SmackDown reviews of late, and something that you have not been saying a lot on Raw.
Oh, God. Now, this was, of course, me and Luke always review Raw, and you and Pete review SmackDown. But, you know, to all authority, the all authority dishes out time off. Mm. Pete, he paid his dues, Chopper Pete, at Hell in a Cell. Masterful performance as Nikki Bella. And, of course, he was there to win me back my Jam That Championship.
Oh, What a piece of art.
So I gave him a day off, a week off. How much of the screen can you see, by the way, right now?
Oh, I can see. It's a bit like looking through a tissue.
Mm.
Like a one-ply tissue. The sort of tissue you get at a pub in the toilets.
The danger tissue.
Yeah, the one where you've got to like wrap over eight times just in case your finger goes straight through it.
Unsurprising fun time.
Yeah, exactly. Pete's obviously been a great asset to the All Authority. I'm staying away from any factions. I can't do factions and my job on the website. So don't even try.
Well, because Louis might.
He's freelance. He can do what he likes. Yeah, I might just get a T-shirt which just says website across the top.
Well, that's a faction in itself. Anyway. Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, they opened the show. They bookended this episode of SmackDown. Just to like you said, I don't know how they could have done this better. It had that main event feel by being in literally the main event, but also being the first thing after Hell in a Cell. I was so excited that I got to do this episode of SmackDown.
Yes.
Because I loved the Hell in a Cell match. I was so just on the edge of my seat to see what happened next. And what happened was the show opens with Roman Reigns coming out. Not new music yet, although that has been teased. Mm. And Jey Uso's already in the ring waiting for him. Just from a staging perspective, this is already amazing because Jey doesn't get an entrance. He's in servitude to Roman. Jey, for all we know, has been waiting around for 2 hours. It's like a meeting with Vince McMahon, just outside the office there. And yeah, Roman comes down. They talk about how Roman is now the tribal chief, Jay is in servitude to him because he said, I quit. Jay was grumpy about this. Very emotional. Great performance. Said he, Roman didn't beat him because, of course, Roman sort of exploited Jimmy's weaknesses to make Jay tap or say, I quit, really. And that he doesn't respect him and that he hates him. But Roman answered, by the end of the night, you will fall in line. And for all the feels, I love you.
Yes, the iconic I love you. It's not said very often in WWE, but they do time it well.
Twice in this episode.
But obviously, there's a much more famous I love you in the past. But no, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, no, I really, really like this. I think maybe they're waiting on the music because I sort of get the feeling they're going to try and do something sort of Samoan-y, which I think can probably be quite difficult with someone. Like a sort of almost like a tribal music kind of thing. But also they want to kind of make it also quite Roman Reignsy, which I think was probably quite difficult to sort of get the balance of that. It's acting. Like I know wrestlers are actors, but you don't get this sort of thing very often. I mean, because you've got sort of like Aaliyah, obviously she's pretty new to the whole thing, and now and then she's putting some decent performance, but it can be a bit sort of wooden, and it's obvious that she's a sort of a bit new to it. And then you've got Alexa Bliss 1 week doing a great job as Fiend's mistress, and the next week she's kind of like, it doesn't feel right. But consistently, it's so rare that you sort of forget that you're watching two guys just acting, and you're like, oh man, this is really intense. That guy's a dick, but like he's really cool as well. And like I haven't thought that Roman Reigns is cool for so long, and it's amazing to sort of watch it week after week after week, because you're actually thinking, what are they going to do next? And you sort of wonder who exactly is doing this story, because it's just brilliant. And where has this sort of stuff been for the last 20 years?
I mean, it coincides with Paul Heyman being paired with him.
It could quite be that. Possibly.
But you know, I'm sure a lot of people have influence. I'm sure Roman himself has a lot of input now that he's heel. So this followed on later in the night with that main event of Jey Uso taking on Daniel Bryan. And up for grabs was a place on Team SmackDown at Survivor Series. And they had... you excited?
Sorry, I was just saying how massive a place on Team SmackDown is.
It's very hard to get any facial cues from you because... It's just
I'll do head movements
like D'Lo Brown.
Mm.
For podcast listeners, by the way, Andy has a morph suit mask on his face, so everything is obscured. You are vacant. You are the WWE 2K series version of vacant because you're a white one.
Yes. This was much cheaper than buying a full morph suit. I didn't actually have a black tie either. So I spent about £7 on these two. So I expect some reimbursement.
Well, the Bryan Uso main event was good. I love watching Daniel Bryan wrestle. Jey Uso is just like Roman is getting most of the plaudits, right? Because we've been used to him one way for 5 years, and now he's sort of Jake the Snake Roberts level of cool, psychotic heel. And he speaks in hushed tones, and he's very quiet all the time, but totally commands everything that he's in. Whereas Jey Uso, I think, is doing just as good a job on the other end of the emotional scale. Mm. Where Jey, in the opening segment and in this match, he's like frothing and shouting. And he's... What I love about this is that he's... This is all, he's just angry. And really, he's angry with himself, I believe. That he's angry with himself because Roman outsmarted him and he said, I quit to save his brother. Like, that's what he's angry about. But that anger is being directed at Roman, understandably. But now, and this is what really was the heel turn, all of that anger, he just decided to funnel it at his opponent, at Daniel Bryan in this match. So he's wrestling far more aggressively than normal. Roman comes out to watch the match, which is just like this extra layer of tension. And by the end of the match, only went 10 minutes, which, like you said, is a bit of a problem with Bryan being beaten clean in 10 minutes. Jey hits the splash,
Roman comes in. Jay hits a splash and wins. Roman gets in the ring and says, "Now show him how much you love me." And Jay beats the crap out of Brian and even hits a splash off the top rope through the announcer's table outside.
Yeah. I mean, this match, this, as we sort of saw, this was kind of more of an angle than a match. I think it's a problem being Daniel Bryan, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if he is still on Team SmackDown in a few weeks in that kind of last chance match that they always do with the people that lose. We've gone from sort of 4 or 5 weeks ago going, "Oh, cool, Jey Uso's going to have a match." No, I didn't see that coming to being, "Oh, wow, Jey Uso is the second heel on SmackDown now." Like, I mean, we've got Lars Sullivan, who can go away for all I care. But, like, I mean, who else really is the sort of the second heel on SmackDown? Because you've got Sami Zayn, but he's kind of the goofy guy. But in terms of actual pure heel, it's you've gone from Jey Uso being the kind of, he was never really like, he hasn't gone back to the babyface he was 5-6 years ago when they were doing their kind of Samoan gimmick. But this is an entirely new Samoan gimmick, and it's completely changed everything I ever thought about. And that was that promo he cut where it's like, "You're the big dog, you're the Roman Reigns, you're everyone's favorite. And I'm just, they all people just say, which one are you?" And it's like, I now know which one Jey Uso is because of this storyline, which is sad to say, but like they've done such a good job of booking him. And his acting in this match, as you said, was phenomenal.
That's a really good point. I now can tell Jimmy and Jay apart.
Yeah.
All it took was...
Jay's the one on TV.
...defined characters, yeah. All it took was one of them being ridden off TV. And I could go, it's quite obvious from that point. Mm. So, I mean, my problem with the Brian thing, although, like, you know, we're always clamoring for new guys to get pushed and... WWE are doing it strongly with Jey Uso here. Of course, he beat AJ Styles a few weeks ago as well, clean. So that this is meteoric stuff for Jey Uso. I'm very happy for that. I just think long-term they're going to kick themselves because surely Daniel Bryan should be feuding with Reigns for the Blue Universal Championship next.
I'm sure he will at some point, but like, and also particularly as last week he said, "This is my last run. I view this as my last run," and his contract runs out in less than a year. So if he means it, then we've got 10 months to book Daniel Bryan's retirement. And yeah, I don't know. Do we want Roman to do we want to delay it and have Roman retire Daniel Bryan? Do we want Daniel Bryan in the mid card, kind of putting over new guys? Mm-hmm. It sort of depends what how you want Daniel Bryan's final run to go.
Well, whatever happens, you know, he was beaten by Jey Uso here, clean in 10 minutes. I don't think it's, especially storyline wise, Roman interfering on behalf of Jey and then Jey sort of coming round to the tribal chief family is perfectly fine. That works potentially better. But one thing I was going to ask of you is, do you find Roman and Jey sympathetic characters? Like, they're heels, but I keep finding myself almost empathizing with them because they're not inherently monsters. I feel like they're bad guys because of their family situation and the culture and customs there. They're the products of a heel environment, themselves.
It's incredibly refreshing to see a heel who isn't just running down during matches and punching someone to cause DQs or, I don't know, being friends with another heel because he's a heel. Because we've had that for so long with like the Baron Corbin factions. I sort of know exactly what you mean because they're not the kind of chicken S word heels. They're just hard guys who will cheat to win sometimes, but actually can prove that they can beat people up when they want to.
I think you've nailed what Roman Reigns' new entrance music should be. So you already want that Samoan style thing. So I'm thinking Samoa Joe's first entrance music in NXT, you know, the porn music. And then over the top of that, Roman and Jay are rapping. We're hard guys who do heel things to win. Hard guys doing heel things to win.
I didn't know you were CFO money.
Hey, they've my royalty payments, however, are astronomical. So before we get on with the full play-by-play review of SmackDown, hey, give us a subscribe, folks. Smash that subscribe button. We're going straight to 800,000 subscribers. So help us on our way there for loads of good wrestling stuff. We've got Adam's List coming tomorrow. We've got AEW Full Gear Go Home Week next week. Me and Luke. Championship on the line. Me, Luke, and Laurie's going to be sort of the referee, I guess, special guest referee. He's going to be on the stream as well.
The return AEW. Of Benjamin Satterley Pack to... I'm quite annoyed at how they announced. That's a very WWE way of announcing it. I would have much preferred Pack just appearing, going, oh, wow!
Yeah, or just announce it on the most recent episode. I think they've done it because, you know, it's election night. They need... all the help they can get to and do a decent rating.
They did lose to NXT this week. I know NXT had Halloween Havoc, but
yeah. Well, it's a sprint. It's a sprint, Andy. That's what they keep forgetting. They keep saying it's a marathon, but it's a sprint. So please give us a subscribe and enable notifications to always on for all of that stuff to come straight to your YouTube homepage. So after that opening Roman Reigns and Jay segment, we got Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler for a match to decide who's going to be on Team SmackDown. I thought this was really good.
It was good. I mean, of course, they've been on SmackDown for 2 weeks now, so they want to battle for that place on the Survivor Series team, arguably the most prestigious position all year. I mean, it's the one night of the year that the two brands go head to head, as we know. So you want to be there. I think it was the right result. I don't really. I mean, I think Dolph and Bobby are going to Robert are going to be sort of making up the very small tag scene that SmackDown's got now.
Of singles guys.
It's nice to see Owens. I know it's not really a push because it's like you're on the team now. But it'll be interesting to see where Owens goes from here, because obviously he sort of had the Fiend stuff and that seems to be over. But now he hasn't really got anything. So, I mean, he's been sort of teasing last week he teased that he wanted a team with Daniel Bryan, but also that he wanted to go for the IC Championship. Pete and I were speculating that he might kind of side with Bryan, which is just a way of getting him back aligned with Sami Zayn, because that seems to be their favourite thing.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know. I think the idea of a Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan team up, feed off the Survivor Series teams, which Jey Uso's now in, of course, and then, yeah, they team together, but they're also kind of frenemies because they both want to go for that Roman Reigns title. But this match here, Dolph Ziggler versus Kevin Owens, a bit of my mind did immediately go, ugh, like that. Like, unfortunately, I do in most Dolph Ziggler matches, but a testament to the guy. So good. He got me in. Lots of near falls in the end. This is an excellent pop-up powerbomb counter into a Dolph Ziggler Famasser. Like, really caught me by surprise. Thought that was excellent. But yeah, KO one with a stunner. He's going to Survivor Series.
I'm interested to see who's going to... Is it, again, because I'm going to use a 5-on-5, because we've got Sami Zayn out of the picture because he's in the tag. We've got, I guess, one of Nakamura and Cesaro, maybe Daniel Bryan, Lars.
Oof. If Lars is in it, he's going to get eliminated by countout.
You reckon?
He'll brawl with Braun Strowman or Keith Lee around the Thunderdome, and they'll both get counted out. Classic big man elimination.
I hope he leaves immediately and doesn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pete and I have had our say on Lars Sullivan, so I won't go into it. Do you reckon I could drink water through this?
Well, you can give it a go. Just don't get out any equipment. Actually, isn't that waterboarding? Don't accidentally waterboard yourself.
Possibly. Is there a wet mark on my... Anyway, yeah, it worked.
You've made that more creepy. It's just given, it looks like you now have massive lipstick on underneath the mask. Oh, Christ. I'm not going to look at you anymore. So after that, we got a little bit backstage about Billie Kay, Natalia, and Bianca Belair wanting a place on Team SmackDown. Definitely not SmackDown general manager Adam Pearce then made a triple threat between them to decide one of those places. And then we got your favorite guy, Lars Sullivan, the freak, given an interview, a sit-down interview with Corey Graves. Yeah, oh, he's such a freak. And he cries, the loser. So Lars does this sit-down interview.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Just filmed earlier in the day, one of those gigs. They're in the ring, sitting down, and Lars is just dressed like a golfer guy.
Yeah,
a golfer. He's wearing a polo shirt.
Yeah.
And he's there being like, I'm a freak. People used to, he told a story from his kayfabe childhood where other kids would point and laugh at him and say, you're a freak. And that made him cry. And the teacher didn't help. They all laughed at him. But then they weren't laughing for long. Oh. They were screaming. And then I wasn't allowed back to that school anymore. I'm like, man, scandals have followed this guy around his entire life. And then he says, like, now, because of that formative experience, he wants to turn the entire world into his own personal playground of hell. This was generic. Yes. AF.
Two things here. So they seem to be... So the report is that no one really likes him backstage apart from Vince. Vince is the only guy who has any sort of interest in pushing him. And the other thing is that this seems to be a common thing. You're bringing someone back who either hasn't been there at all, like Matt Riddle when he turned up, or someone who hasn't been there for a while. When Matt Riddle turned up, it was kind of like, huh, people don't really know who Matt Riddle is. He doesn't wear shoes. And then they told this terrible story. It was like, when I was younger, I got frostbite on my toes. And I can't wear shoes because I always feel like then I've got frostbite again. It's like, right, what? Okay. And now it's sort of, oh, well, he hasn't been here for a while and people don't like him. Oh, let's try and make him sympathetic. I don't know. Like, I was bullied. Therefore, I'm going to be an a-hole for the rest of my life. I don't care. I at no point was I going, oh, Lars. Oh, Lars, that's so sad. Like, he's not a sympathetic heel.
Yeah, it's just, it just came across so fake. I thought Lars's delivery, for what it's worth, was decent, actually. Mm. I was surprised he did this promo so well. But the content and the way he was dressed, just the overall presentation of this, I thought, God, it's so counterproductive to the character they're trying to get across. And to be honest, I don't even know what character they're trying to do here. Like, it's that same Vince McMahon.
It looks like the sort of school shooter. Like, I was bullied. The teacher didn't like me. And now they're going to pay. Don't come to school tomorrow. That is sort of, it was like, I don't know, it was rub. Yeah, like you say, his livery was fine, but it was kind of, we need to. It felt like they had an hour left before the show went live when they finished the script.
But this was pre-taped.
Was
this
it?
This was one of the only things. It wasn't live. Corey Graves screamed to himself.
Yes.
He was a bloody quick man if you can do that.
Good point.
It's just we've had this with Braun Strowman. Do you remember there was that promo a couple of years ago when he was like, "Oh, by the way, I tipped over a treehouse of loads of kids."
And everyone died.
Murdered them all. And like that same stuff with Kane. It's like Vince McMahon has the characters that he likes, and one of those characters, and they're all the same, no matter who's playing them. The hot blonde, the happy black guy, the big monster. It's all like these very stereotypical, lazy, generic characters. And that's what they've given to Lars. And unfortunately, I don't think he's at a point in this version of his run where you should be doing sit-down interviews with him. Like, he's far more effective as a threat if you keep him silent and you don't have him wearing a polo shirt.
It was quite as bad, but it was like when you brought Bobby Lashley back and he was like, this is the walking Armageddon. Here he is wearing a flat cap, smiling and talking about his sisters with Renee Young. It's like, well, now I don't care.
The Family Guy is another trope, that Vince just fits people into. Anyway, we'll see what happens, but God. It's one of the bad things on the show. Buddy and Aliyah got a, that sort of acting that Roman and Jay did.
Yes.
This was the other end of the scale. They're going to go and apologize in a bit.
They don't look comfortable.
No. They got the Belair versus Natalia versus Billy Kay match after that. Billy Kay got in a lot of offense here, actually, but it was mostly just heel opportunism. And ultimately, Belair won in a very quick match. Don't drink again. You're just trying to make the lips pop more.
No, I've got a headache.
We've got Belair on Team SmackDown. That's good. She can have some fun elimination spots on the pay-per-view. Carmella teased that she's going to debut her new character on next Friday. On next Friday's show.
Yes, it is Emelina. It really, really is. It's Carmelina.
It's the hot blonde woman. This is another one of those tropes.
It's not even that different to what her gimmick was before. Yeah. Like, her gimmick was, I like money and I'm the princess of Staten Island. Now she's coming back going, I like money, but now I wear a dress instead of a singlet or a leotard, whatever it was. I don't know. I don't care. I like Carmella. I think she's a good character. I think she's the best in the ring. But this is so Emelina. Like it's just a woman in a dress who likes sparkly things and is pretty and blonde. And that's it. I mean, SmackDown's women's roster is so bare bones at the moment. Their team. I mean, I know Raw's got Dana Brooke on their team, but SmackDown's team, I mean, what's that going to look like? Oh, you've got Belair, Billy Kay, Natalia, Zelina Vega. I don't know who's going to be in the team, but they've got to find five people somehow.
Well, presumably Bailey. She won't
Bailey, of course, because it'll be Sasha against Asuka. Oh, that's going to be a good match.
I had nothing. I thought Carmella's character was really good before. I don't see a need to change it to something like that. If you change it, it should be dramatically different, not, like you say, a slight sidestep. After that, we got Buddy and Aliyah coming down to the ring to apologize to Rey and Dominic for the months of hell he's put this family through. because he's in love with the daughter now. But Seth comes out instead. He's like, oh, just come back to me, buddy. I accept your relationship. You can even get married if you like.
I've taken my socks off for you. I've taken my shirt off. You can have both of those things. I like how you pronounce Aaliyah different every single time you say it, by the way.
That's the key. Consistently inconsistent. Mm. So Alolo then sort of, you know, she's thinking about it. The wedding tees, by the way, surely that's where this is going.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. Like, I have no, I'm not one of the people on Twitter who has a particular issue with this. I kind of see them as actor and actor. They've been told, by the way, you're now in a romance storyline. It's like, I mean, okay, remember Friends, that well-known TV show? Monica dated that doctor, or Richard? I mean, he was like 20 years older than her. So what's the problem there?
Well, I think, so she was like 29, 30, character-wise then. That was a storyline done 25 years ago.
Yes.
No, I think, but I don't think that's people's problems. Look, I also think it's fine. It's just a stupid wrestling storyline. But I can also see why people would be upset with it, which is she's 19. She's 19 years old. She's not like a 25-year-old or a 30-year-old. And Buddy's 32. And this comes in the wake of, you know, all the speaking out allegations from earlier this year. But I, you know, there's the problem with the speaking out allegations. A lot of one of the fundamental things was that abuse of power, that abuse within a relationship that's meant to be a safe environment, you know, a mentor, a trainer, and their trainee. Buddy and Aaliyah have no such relationship like that. They are just two adults legally who have come together. And if one of my 32-year-old friends started going out with a 19-year-old, I'd be like, well, that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
But within the eyes of the law and decency, you know, there's not really anything they've done wrong. But I understand how it has touched a nerve with some people.
I think it's also, I completely get it, but I think it's also dangerous to sort of go, well, these wrestlers were like that, therefore this other wrestler must be like that because it's a story. Like, I think it's bad to look at someone who was actually kind of accused of something like that and then going, well, you can't have Buddy doing that because that means he's like them. Because he's just being told, he's doing what he's been told to do. The acting is not brilliant, and it's been going on far too long. And the kiss was like, okay.
But it's like, it's implied that they've kissed already.
Yeah. Or was that?
They're not. What are they doing? Are they just sitting down holding hands?
Yeah. That's what
I picture in a 32, 19-year-old relationship.
Was your first kiss not in the middle of a wrestling ring in front of your girlfriend's parents and brother?
No, it wasn't. What was yours?
Yeah. No, that was mine. Yeah.
My first kiss was with a girl called Hairy Harriet at a house.
Was that a real name?
That's what everyone called her.
I won't say the name of my first kiss, but it was in my parents' study when I was 16. I'd been dating this girl for like 2 weeks, and my friend said, "If you kiss her tonight, I'll give you £2." And I was like,
"Oh,
I'm cashing in on this." So I literally told her.
You gigolo. You absolute gigolo.
I told her, by the way, Zoe's offered me £2 if we kiss. And she was like, all right.
Easy money. Wow. What a...
romantic.
Well, speaking of romance, back to Seth and Ray and Dominic and Buddy and Aaliyah. Seth is saying all that stuff. Like you said, he is dressed in a suit without socks or a shirt on, just absolute healing there. And then Dominic attacks Seth, and Buddy pulls off Dominic because he wants to beat up Seth, and that's a misunderstanding. And Dominic and Buddy start fighting. Ray comes out. Ray's about to hit the 619 on Buddy, but Aaliyah stops them and says, "No, Daddy, I love him." And then there's the kiss. And Seth is just loving all of this on the ramp. He's like,
damn. It's a tricky storyline. It's just been going on far too long. I think we're going to get more and more of this. I won't be surprised if there's a TLC match between Buddy and Seth, or a Royal Rumble match. I mean, I kind of hope they're both in the Rumble, to be honest. But yeah, I think this is probably going to conclude at TLC because it can't.
It's still so long. But
they'll probably both be on the SmackDown team, so I guess they can storyline that somehow. Like they hate each other. One of them probably get the other eliminated. I just not because it's been on Raw for so long, and because all I've had is my exposure to Raw has been watching your podcast and reading stuff. It's kind of, I'm already tired of this, and it's only been on SmackDown for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I did get flashbacks. Like, I was like, am I watching the wrong show here? Have I accidentally loaded up an episode from 4 weeks ago of Raw? But it is a tad frustrating. A lot of people are sick of how long this has been going on for. Apparently, one of the reasons they keep going to Buddy Aaliyah, which is, you know, the weakest part, really, of the entire story. The good stuff was between Ray, Dominic, and Seth, I think, and Buddy.
Am I right in thinking it's YouTube?
Yes, yeah. Aaliyah thumbnail clips on YouTube for WWE outperform the bulk of others. So
maybe we should start doing that.
Hey, that's why they're on the thumbnail for the news Aaliyah, today, mate.
Aaliyah turns girlfriend.
It's a shame because there's a lot of different directions they can split off on that are infinitely more interesting. I want to see Dominic and Ray do a tag run. You know, the tag division is lacking right now. I want to see Seth interact with Roman Reigns.
Here's a pitch. The Survivor Series team is Jey Uso, Seth Rollins, Dominic, Buddy, and Ray.
Dominic, Buddy, Ray.
How will they coexist?
One team.
On the same team.
Ugh, I'm already bored. So Brian talked up the Jey Uso match to Kayla Braxton. Then we got Street Profits versus Cesaro and Nakamura. Now on the same brand, but just a couple of weeks ago. Last month on Raw was the Street Profits versus Cesaro and Nakamura interbrand match. But hey, wait a second. That only happens at Survivor Series, right? Yeah. But they have great chemistry together. Montez Ford is insane. Cesaro is incredibly strong. And there was this amazing spot where Montez Ford runs at Cesaro. Cesaro lifts him up in the air. So it's like the combination of Montez Ford's flying ability and Cesaro's push press. And it sends Montez Ford like 3 Thunderdome rows high and crashing down over the barricade.
Other than like in the high jump in the Olympics, I have never seen anyone jump as high as that man. It is, I know he's got the ropes to bounce off, but they're not that bouncy. Like, and when you see another splash late in the night from Jey Uso, who gets like a third of the height that Montez Ford gets, it's honest. Like, I know that like the WWE picture for it this week on their photos, it's like, holy crap. He's like, he's going to hit the lights.
Yeah, he's amazing. And he's got so much charisma. Like, if they play their cards right with both him and Dawkins, they're the future of the company, but above anyone else I see, because they're legit young guys as opposed to new call-ups who are actually 35.
Yeah.
It's a really decent back-and-forth match. It was mostly to build the profits for the New Day match at Survivor Series, but Street Profits won clean.
I think that's the right thing to do. Put over your champions strong, and I think that they're going to probably be beating tag teams until Survivor Series, and then we can start an actual title feud.
After that, we got Sami Zayn cutting a promo on Bobby Lashley, his Survivor Series opponent, and he actually framed this in just a great way. That, you know, we haven't had a foreign heel storyline for quite a while, and usually there's so much sort of uncomfortable racial elements to those kinds of stories. So this is really refreshing to have a black US champion taking on a white foreign heel And that, yes, yeah, Sami sort of played up that dynamic of it, saying, you're just the United States champion. I am the champion of all the continents. I'm the intercontinental.
Yeah.
So it's like he's going to prove that the rest of the world is better than the US.
I think I know who's winning.
Yeah. Well, Lashley is beating Sami Zayn every day of the week, even without a foreign heel storyline. But yeah, I thought that this was a good old bit of pro wrestling nonsense. That was good. Then Sasha Banks comes out for her first SmackDown champion promo, wearing just this bodysuit that was ridiculously bejeweled.
Her outfits in the last few weeks, I don't know I know her husband's a designer, and she's clearly gone home and gone, darling, I'm going to be champion. I need to look like crazy. Her outfits the last few weeks have been amazing. And it did look like she'd rolled on the carpet of Buckingham Palace for a bit. covered herself in glue. Yeah. It was sort of gold, and it had like ropey like symbols and jewels. Yeah, I mean, she looks like a star. That's like everyone's tweeting that. She looks like she's the champion now. And that's all you want. I mean, the booking of SmackDown's women in general is bad, but this has been the best women's storyline I can remember. Ever. Since Becky started becoming the man, like, this is so good. And Bayley comes out, and normally like, oh no, not a rematch, but like she actually has a reason for saying I deserve a rematch. She's like, she was the champion, she was a record holding champion. She's saying, Sasha, you always fail at the first attempt, and it's gonna happen again next Friday on Fox. Yeah,
I mean, I think it's too early to do that match.
Yeah, no, it is, but at least there's a reason for it.
And it's difficult because it's only a motivation thing you can do for Sasha's first title defense. But, you know, I think you can get around that. I think you can have that match at TLC, build it up longer, preoccupy everyone else with the Survivor Series build. You don't have to have Sasha defend the title for 2 months, maybe even play it up more. Maybe have her lose a non-title match to someone who isn't Bayley. You're like, oh no.
Yeah.
And you almost get like that sort of babyface overcoming heel for the title win rather than retention payoff.
Yeah.
Even though she's already the champion.
They should definitely wait a lot longer. And I don't really know how they can get out of it now. Because it's not like Bayley's going to attack her before the match. It's not like Bayley's going to get herself DQ'd. Although you look like you've got an idea.
Because Bayley wins.
Oh, okay. So you reckon that's how they're going to get out of it?
Yeah.
And then Sasha wins it back at TLC.
Yeah,
and
Bayley.
Then she gets her actual first defense at Royal Rumble.
No, she'll never successfully defend it without Bayley's help.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my pick. Well, and then we got the main event, which was absolutely fantastic angle between Daniel Bryan and Jey Uso turning heel. So overall, like, this was fantastic Roman and Jey stuff throughout.
Yeah.
It had its problems, you know, Banks Bayley's happening way too soon. Daniel Bryan was beaten clean. The Lars stuff was rubbish. But the rest of the show zipped along quite nicely. And some of the in-ring matches, the tag and the Kevin Owens-Dolph Ziggler match, were really exciting. So I gave this a solid 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I would have given it a high 3, low 4. I mean, this is kind of like with you and AEW. I know SmackDown's not going to be not quite the same level, but it's sort of I've come to expect a good show now from SmackDown. So this is sort of just above average, I would say, of what I've come to expect. I think low 4, high 3. Good show, good action, and just a few bits that you would change, but we can't complain too much.
Well, That's all we've got time for today. Thank you for joining us. Please click the videos that have just appeared on screen right now to watch more WrestleTalk things. Go over and watch the WrestleTalk news that went up earlier. And we've got Adam Blompier's Halloween-themed How He Would Have Booked video over on Parts Unknown. It's for The Fiend. So go and watch that. But for now, I've been Mr. Davis. Well, Orange Cassidy. That's been Slender Mandy Datsun. Happy Halloween.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.